The information in this skill is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Multiple Sclerosis Flash Briefings.
Hi, I'm Price Wooldridge, and you're listening to Multiple Sclerosis News Today's audio news. These are today's news highlights curated by our editorial staff. Visit our website at multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com for more relevant news and patient perspectives. Long-term Zeposia may help cognitive function in patients, data show. Long-term treatment with Zeposia, ozanimod, stabilizes or even improves cognitive function in adults with relapsing forms of multiple sclerosis, particularly among those with greater brain volumes. That's according to 5 years of data from the completed Sunbeam Phase 3 clinical trial and the ongoing Daybreak extension study. Multiple sclerosis can lead to significant irreversible brain volume loss and decreased cognition if not treated quickly upon diagnosis. John DeLuca, Ph.D., Senior Vice President for Research and Training at the Kessler Foundation, who was involved in the new analysis, said in a press release from Bristol-Myers Squibb, which markets the therapy. These new analyses showed the potential of early treatment with Zeposia to help stabilize and even improve cognition in people with multiple sclerosis with high brain volume, which is important for doctors and people with multiple sclerosis, added DeLuca, who is also a professor at Rutgers, New Jersey Medical School. Additional results from Daybreak also indicated that MS patients on Zeposia were able to mount an effective immune response after receiving an mRNA vaccine for COVID-19. These findings were shared in a poster and a late-breaking oral presentation at the European Academy of Neurology Congress, held June 25 through 28 in Vienna and virtually. Zeposia is an oral therapy that works by trapping immune cells in structures called lymph nodes, preventing the cells from getting into the brain and causing MS-driving inflammation. It is approved in the U.S. for relapsing forms of MS, and in Europe and Canada for relapsing-remitting MS with active disease. These regulatory approvals were based in part on data from the Sunbeam Phase 3 trial, which demonstrated that 1 year of treatment with Zeposia outperformed the MS therapy Avonex, or interferon beta-1A, at reducing relapse rates and brain shrinkage while improving cognitive function in relapsing MS patients. Participants completing Sunbeam and other Zeposia trials could choose to enter the open-label Daybreak extension study, in which they are treated with Zeposia at the now-approved dose, 0.92 milligrams per day, for up to 7 years. In the poster, positive association between baseline brain volume and long-term cognition in patients with relapsing multiple sclerosis, researchers at Bristol-Myers Squibb and other institutions presented results from exploratory analyses of 5 years of combined data with Sunbeam and Daybreak. The analyses included nearly 800 patients with brain MRI data at the start of the Sunbeam study and who received Zeposia for up to 4 years in Daybreak. About 650 completed the 4 years of treatment in the extension study. Results showed that, at Sunbeam's start, or baseline, patients with larger brain volume, particularly of a brain region called the thalamus, had significantly better cognitive function, as assessed with the symbol-digit modalities test. Thalamic volume loss has been previously linked to cognitive impairment. This trend persisted over up to 5 years of treatment throughout Sunbeam and Daybreak, and participants with high baseline thalamic volume were more likely to show stable or improved cognitive function at all evaluated time points than those with smaller thalamic volume. Specifically, at 4 years into Daybreak, nearly 80% of participants with a larger thalamus at baseline showed improved or preserved cognitive function compared with two-thirds of those with a smaller thalamus. We're excited by the potential effect of Zeposia in protecting cognitive function when used early in treatment, before brain volume is lost, and what it can mean for individuals with relapsing multiple sclerosis, said Jonathan Sade, MD, Senior Vice President of BMS Immunology and Fibrosis Development. In a separate presentation at the Congress, researchers shared data on responses to completed COVID-19 vaccine among 109 Daybreak participants. Out of the 80 participants who received a full course of rMNA-based vaccines, such as those by Pfizer and Moderna, all showed seroconversion, meaning they were producing antibodies able to fight the virus that causes COVID-19. In turn, seroconversion was detected in 62% of the 29 patients given non-mRNA vaccines. While more research is required, these data demonstrate that individuals receiving Zeposia for multiple sclerosis mount a measurable antibody response to COVID-19 vaccination, Sade said in a separate Bristol-Myers press release. The findings suggest that Zeposia-treated patients are much more likely to develop antibody responses to RNA vaccines compared to non-RNA vaccines, said Bruce Cree, MD, PhD, one of the study's researchers and a professor at the University of California, San Francisco. This observation may be helpful for physicians as they seek to optimize care for patients in the face of the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, added Cree, who is also the clinical research director at UCSF's MS Center. Results from another COVID-19-related analysis of Daybreak data were presented earlier this month at the 2022 annual meeting of the Consortium of Multiple Sclerosis Centers. Scientists looked at the outcome of 160 confirmed and 30 suspected COVID-19 infections that were documented as of May 2021, accounting for 8.7% of the 2,181 participants analyzed. They found that the vast majority of these infections, 92.6%, were non-serious, and 3 COVID-19-related deaths were reported. Most of the patients who had COVID-19 continued to take Zeposia uninterrupted, and 95% recovered without sequelae or after effects. No patient has stopped treatment due to COVID-19. The benefit-risk profile of Zeposia remains unchanged, with most COVID-19 cases being non-serious and the majority resolving without treatment interruption, the researchers concluded. This news article was written by Marissa Wexler, MS, on June 30, 2022. Click the link in the description below to read more on this and other topics of interest on the MS News Today's website. Through the Looking Glass, a column by Beth Ulla, published June 15, 2022. Just because we aren't relapsing doesn't mean we are symptom-free. In relapsing-remitting MS, relapses and exacerbations involve a worsening of symptoms or the appearance of new ones for 24 hours or more. My disease baseline has changed many times over the years, but has never returned to how it was before my symptoms began. I'm intrigued by how people use phrases differently to reflect on their realities. Last night, I was absentmindedly scrolling through social media, and a friend's post caught my eye. The post marked the anniversary of her treatment with Lemtrada, and she celebrated its continued success. The caption caught my eye. Although I feel like I'm in a constant flare-up, I'm relapse-free. I thought this was an interesting way to phrase it. I often refer to my current situation as my new normal or my baseline. That got me thinking about how the things we say are perceived by others who don't necessarily know much about MS and the impact it has on our daily lives. For instance, some may assume that relapse-free means symptom-free, but that isn't necessarily the case. I think this applies to invisible symptoms more than the visible ones. On good days, which don't happen as often as I'd like, I can walk across a room without my walking stick and without spasticity and spasms. It might seem like there is nothing wrong with me, but it couldn't be further from the truth. Of course, I can only talk about my reality and my experiences, but I also like to reflect on other people's realities. I think the reason I haven't personally encountered many of these assumptions about invisible illness is because MS has left me frequently needing mobility aids, such as my walking stick, a wheelchair, and a scooter, so it's clear to onlookers that there is something wrong. However, for those whose symptoms are invisible, such as sensory changes, pain, or optic neuritis, to name a few, the assumption by others that they're fine can be quite stressful. Thinking back to the brief period when my symptoms were invisible, before I had a paralyzing relapse, I found it to be extremely frustrating. I had to explain certain things to family, friends, and colleagues, such as why I missed a street sign due to optic neuritis. Another time, I served my dad moldy toast because I simply couldn't see it. I think it's important to recognize that just because someone isn't showing visible symptoms of MS doesn't mean they aren't experiencing them. To read more columns from Beth Ulla and our other contributors, visit our website at multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. Follow the link in the description below. This is MS News Today's audio news. Subscribe to our channel to never miss an episode. And if you're listening on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts, hit save. Thanks for tuning in.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our Multiple Sclerosis News Today forums, a trusted MS community ready to welcome you anytime.